Can I have a motion to approve the minutes of February 10th, 2014?
Motion to approve.
Second.
Any discussion, comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Any public comments? I have no comments at this point. Can go on to the presentations.
Hi. I'm going to be talking about a couple different things today. Stacy Wyans, Public Health Community Specialist, if you don't remember. First would be the Division of Health Annual Report. And I'm not really going to get too into this, but I just wanted to distribute copies of this for your files or whatever. So this is kind of what we usually submit every year as an annual report. The one thing we've now incorporated, though, is you'll see in here is our goals and objectives with our strategic plan. So you'll see that kind of incorporated in the annual report now, along with the different kind of data and activities of the programs that we have at the Division of Health. So at your leisure, you can look through here. This is also on our website if you need additional copies. But what I really wanted to talk about was the county health rankings that just came out, and also that goes into the status of our community health improvement plan. We use a lot of the data from the county health rankings in that, so they really do go together. And so I will be, you have the copy of my presentation, but I'm going to be starting with this document, this handout, which is the county health rankings. The county health rankings for 2014 were just released in March, and as usual, I usually put together a summary, which is what this document is. And I really like to look at, obviously, how we're doing, but I compare to the year before, and you can also see then the national goal for, which is the FAR column there. And referencing the county health rankings, they rank every county actually in the United States. But if you look at our ranking for Wisconsin, because we have 72 counties, one would be excellent. So we strive to get a number one ranking. 72 is what we would consider poor. And they break the county health rankings out by health outcomes, which is sort of the orange area, and then health factors, and then their subcategories, and then measures for each of those. So I will kind of go through this and then talk about how we've done in the past. I have some different charts that you can look at, sort of trends on how we've done with the different rankings. I can say in a nutshell, we're staying fairly consistent in our rankings, which isn't necessarily a good thing. We've improved in some areas, but in other areas we have not improved. Looking at health outcomes overall, we ranked this year 64 out of 72. We were 66 last year, so we have improved slightly. Under health outcomes, they look at length of life and quality of life, and you can see in those categories we've stayed pretty consistent, the same for length of life, and actually improved slightly for quality of life. We went from 69 to 67. And if you have questions as I go, just let me know. With this document too, you can see the specific data that correlates to that ranking. So that's what when UW Pop Health, and they're the ones that do this, when they put this together, that's the data that they use. Now, one thing just to keep in the back of your mind, a lot of this data is, it's not 2013, 2014 data, it's 2011, sometimes 2010, so just keep that in mind. This is great data, but it is kind of a snapshot, so you have to just reference that sometimes, as in all data, it's hard to get really timely. So they use what they have, which is in some cases a few years old. Moving into the blue, which is health factors, and there's four categories under health factors: health behaviors, clinical care, social economic factors, and physical environment. All that gives us a health factor ranking of 61, which was the same as what we received last year. Under health behaviors, you can see they look at kind of tobacco use, diet, exercise, alcohol use, sexual activity, and then you can see the very specific measures that they look at. We unfortunately went from a ranking of 40 to 53, which last year when we got the ranking of 40, I was personally very happy to see that because for me, health behaviors, that's really what we're trying to change through Healthy People and our CHIP. And so to see that, to me, we're actually seeing people start to change behavior, quit smoking, start exercising. And now to kind of see that ranking start going the other direction. The one thing, though, I do want to mention, and I'm not going to go through each measure, but there are a couple new measures that they added in this year that more than likely brought our ranking down. One would be, it's the third one, index of factors that lead to a healthy food environment. And they include a lot of different things. But this is a new measure that they've included this year. Our index is 7.9. So more than likely that probably brought our ranking down slightly. The other, another new one they added, percent of the population with adequate access to locations for physical activity, 94%, which actually is fairly good. And the other new measure that they added, proportion of driving deaths with alcohol involvement. And we are at 38% for that, which, again, probably brought our ranking down in that. Because everything else stayed fairly consistent. Maybe very slight variation from last year to this year. But I think whenever they add in new measures, our ranking kind of sometimes gets jumbled either way. So our ranking, unfortunately, we're on the downward. Hopefully next year we'll kind of get that up. Moving into clinical care, and they look at access to health care for this and quality of care. You can see we went from 62 to 58, which was good. They have added a new measure in here. It's a ratio of population to mental health providers, and our ratio is not good. So this, didn't necessarily hurt our ranking, but it's also not helping it too much. So this is a new one they've added. But everything else has stayed, again, fairly consistent, as you can see. Moving into social economic factors, they look at a lot of different things, education, employment, income. We went from 55 to 53 as our ranking, so we have improved slightly. And looking at the violent crime rate, we did improve pretty significantly, so that might have gotten our ranking up a little bit. We're staying pretty stable at that. The last one, physical environment, unfortunately we went from a 65 to a 71. But again, they've added now in this area. Previously this sort of section, physical environment, really looked at air quality, and they are moving it more to built environment. And these are the last three measures on here are new. And I can tell you for a fact that this is why our ranking went down so much. Percentage of households with at least one of four housing problems. They look at overcrowding, high housing costs, lack of kitchen or plumbing facilities. We're at 16%. The national goal is 9. Next, percent of the workforce that drive alone to work. We're at 84%. The goal is 71. And then with that, among workers who commute in their car alone, the percentage that commute more than 30 minutes. And we're at 36. The goal is 15. So adding those measures in brought our ranking, unfortunately, to a 71. So again, this is a good snapshot. A lot of this data, as I go through the status report, you'll see in there. But any questions specifically on the county health rankings? Yes?
Where it says index of factors that led to healthy food, that lead to health, what are the factors? What's in that category?
They look at, how close it is, like food deserts. So they're looking at how close it is for individuals to get to healthy food. There's a lot of different things kind of that go into that index, but that's okay. Kind of one example.
Question on percentage of populations close to water.
Mm-hmm.
What does that mean?
What are you under?
Physical environment.
Percent? Oh, exposed to water exceeding a violation limit during the past year. So it's looking at water safety, looking at if there's any contamination in water, individuals getting sick from that. Or beach, looking at beach closings. We've looked at that previously.
Now, that the last one with the commuting, we're going to be because Milwaukee, Chicago.
Exactly.
And I wouldn't necessarily look at them as unhealthy because they've got good jobs and they're staying out of the city.
Right. I know. When I saw that, I said, you know, how many people travel to Illinois for work or vice versa or Milwaukee? Yeah. And carpooling.
Yeah, is that more, talking more about the number of cars that are on the road, which emit more carbon?
Right.
Because it's more about air quality.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So this will now move into, and I do have, again, this is just a breakdown of our rankings for this year. And you can just kind of, I just looked at, since 2010, these rankings have been coming out. So I always just kind of look at how we've done. And this is for health outcomes and health factors. Again, we've stayed pretty consistent in both, you can see. And this is length of life, quality of life, those two under health outcomes. Again, pretty consistent. This one is a little busy, sorry, but it's looking at the health behaviors, the clinical care, social, economic, and physical environment. You've seen, there's some dips. Like physical environment, we started 71, we got to 48. But again, they've added and taken out a lot of different measures in every year in that category, which definitely keeps our score all over the place. And health behaviors, you know, we were at a 59, we got to 40, now we're starting back up to 53. Now this is tying into now our Community Health Improvement Plan, or Healthy People, Kenosha County 2020. Just a little summary on our six different committees. And I'm kind of now moving into this document. This is our status report for Healthy People. And so what I do now, when the county health rankings come out, because we use a lot of the data from there, I take that opportunity to put together a status report on how we're doing in our CHIP, because I get that question a lot. And so what you'll see in here is a breakdown of the different committees and the goals and objectives that they put together, the baseline of when we started, and then where we're at right now. And hopefully, you know, I try to get as, again, as current data as possible. And you can see where that data's from. I've also included some different charts and graphs and different specific highlights from those committees. So you can see the different things that are going on, because there is a lot going on right now. For access to healthcare, you can look at the goals and objectives that were selected and where we're at. Some of these tie into the county health ranking information that I just went over. One thing, improve Kenosha County immunization rate for children 2 years and younger. The Division of Health, we're really working on this a lot this year, trying to get that rate up. Our goal is 80%, and we're really, really trying to get to that goal. The infant mortality rate. You can see it's 8.8 for 2010, but if you really look at, sometimes looking at 1 year is not, because of the number, not as great. But if you look 2008 to 2010, it's 7.6 the rate. And the one we've been looking at, this committee is ensure all Kenosha County residents have access to a primary care provider, because our ratio of primary care providers to residents is really low in Kenosha County. But it's hard. There's so many factors to why, you know, we don't have a lot of primary care providers, and then getting people hooked up with them. So.
And as far as the access to primary care providers, that doesn't look at, like, you know, we might have this many people, but based on insurance, if there's only this many people that take Medicaid,
right, or it doesn't look at that. but that's
a level population. I mean, that probably speaks a lot more to access to health care than the number of providers we actually have.
Right.
Does it also divide out like pediatrics versus adult? Mm-hmm. So it's just in general.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because that might be an interesting stat too.
Right. That's a good point too. Yeah, this one's from the county health rankings, and they don't break it down. Healthy Lifestyles Committee, and that's really the health behaviors portion of the county health rankings. And it's just looking at physical activity, proper nutrition, use of alcohol, tobacco use. A lot of activities going on through our Transform Wisconsin grant with this. And I'm just touching on some of these. If you want, I can get more in depth. If you have additional questions, let me know. Our Mental Health AODA Committee, the goals and objectives that they've selected and the status. Our Mental Health Committee is doing a lot. They have almost subgroups looking at different issues. The Hispanic outreach, they're doing a lot with that. And it's a lot of just making sure people know what resources are out there, because that's a question that comes up a lot. They don't know where to start. They don't know where to go. So it's really getting the outreach part of it. Our Injury Prevention Committee, the three things we're looking at is access to lethal means, motor vehicle crashes, and injuries and deaths related to falls. And so, unfortunately, we're seeing a slight improvement in the suicide rate, but the other numbers are unfortunately starting to go up. The Youth Health Committee is looking at physical activity, and this is all youth-focused, healthy reproductive system. So looking at our STD rate, teen pregnancy rate. And we're seeing some improvement in the teen birth rate, which has actually brought one of our rankings up slightly. But our STD rate for chlamydia is continuing to just keeps going up. And our Environmental Health Committee, which really is focused on asthma, looking at the asthma hospitalization rate and ER visit rate. There is a new burden of asthma report that just came out not too long ago, which has some great data in there, so you can see that. Any questions on that? And just as an aside, a lot of our data we get from the Kenosha Community Health Survey that comes out every 3 years, and we do it in conjunction with Aurora and Children's Hospital, and they're actually just starting the phone interview part of that this week. So what they do is they do 400 phone interviews. It's really an in-depth, great survey tool. So once they tabulate all that data, it probably won't be until either the end of this year or early next year we'll share that, but just so you know, that's going on as well. The last tool I just want to go over is something I put together in conjunction with Cindy, and it breaks down a lot of the things I just talked about, the county health rankings, the Kenosha County 2020 objectives, but also brings it local to the Division of Health and the programs that we are doing locally and how we're addressing the county health rankings and our healthy people goals and objectives. And so there's a lot on here, and some of it's repetitive from what I've already gone over, but I think it's really nice, and actually Cindy presented this to the Finance Committee?
Yes.
And I just think it really nicely breaks down locally what we're doing, because we get that question a lot. You know, what is the health department doing to address the county health rankings or the 2020 goals? And so this nicely kind of shows what we're doing locally and the status of it, the data part of it, the statutes that it ties into, the state statutes. Cindy, are there any specific ones you wanted to... focused or talked about?
No, what it does is just brings everything together in one format in regards to our rankings, our community health improvement plan, what we are mandated to do through our 140 review, which incorporates our state statutes, and then some status programs or grants that we've acquired in order to address all the different areas that are incorporated into this form. One thing to remember is the statutes and our 140 review site review is tomorrow, but the 140 review is all about compliance, and it's compliance of the local public health department with the state statutes. And so that column is important because we're required to do those state statutes. Keep in mind that our health department is 21 or 22% levy funded, tax dollar, 57% grants, so it's a big chunk, and the remainder, 23%, would be revenues or license fees that help support our local public health department. So the grants that we secure are very critical in addressing not only our state statutes, but also our community health improvement plan, and again, that leads to our accreditation. So kind of just, yes.
How does that compare to other health departments that you're only 23% levy funded?
Well, a good number of them are 50 or 60. Wauwatosa is 90%. Ozaukee County, which is number one with the health rankings, is it 90%? So you can see sometimes our position is because of where it is fiscally, but we also have to remember our economy and our in our county. And so it all ties together. So for our local public health department, it behooves us to seek out grant dollars that are available and we're eligible for to help undergird program services and to support our community and the projects that we've selected to address with the health disparities.
I think that speaks pretty highly that you have that much grant funding. Mm-hmm.
We've been very fortunate to bring those dollars to our community. Thank you.
Just one other comment is when you look at all these rankings, 2008, 2013, everything seems, despite all these efforts, nothing is really getting that much better. But I think what you brought up about the economy is really important, because the post 2008 rankings are really reflective of what was happening here 2005, 2006, because they are delayed. And now we're looking at these numbers from 2013 that you said, you know, really are probably more 2010 and 11. I mean, that kind of makes sense as you look at mm-hmm. some of those rankings and what's going on in light of the economy with that.
Mm-hmm. Like, thinking about a poverty rate in our community at that point in time, unemployment rate. Mm-hmm. And so we're actually faring fairly well. Mm-hmm. Our community is overall, they're living longer, but they're still sicker. And as you as health professionals are seeing that out in the community. So it's addressing some of those key areas that continue to be exhibited in our community. I think one thing that not only locally, but statewide and nationwide are the STD rates continue to stay high, very high, excessively high. And it's an area that we need to start looking at. How do we address that? How do we keep our community's reproductive health system healthy? Not only, when you're looking at infections and all those processes that go along with infections. That's just one example, not to mention the mortality, which we're making headway on. We're starting to bring that number, especially in the African-American population. We're really targeting that with our program, our home visiting program, nurse family partnership program, our virtual life course initiative, and our dismantling racism project. So we really have, through the grant, the availability of grants, we've been able to target certain areas. STDs is another one that we really haven't found anything yet to target that. But the programs and grants that we've selected, and we've combined them to make connections with the partnerships in our community, we've been able to make a difference and make improvements. It takes time, though. It's a very slow process. And these rankings, you know, they're anywhere from 6 to 8 years old. Mm-hmm. So it'll be 6 to 8 years from now that the programs that we have in effect will be reflected in the rankings. But also, it's in comparison to all the other 72 counties. So when one adjusts, someone else has to adjust. So if we do much better, someone else would have to do very poorly to fall beneath us. So it's a balancing act.
That's important to remember. So they ranked with 72 other counties. Kenosha, Racine, Milwaukee, Madison, Green Bay, and La Crosse are unique. We've got all the population. Some of those other counties,
right.
You know, and when you look at their county budgets, they don't have anywhere near the budget we do. Mm-hmm. When I've been at Wisconsin counties, conventions, talked to other supervisors, their health departments aren't really much on their radar screen, mm-hmm. as we do here. And they just don't go for the grants that we go for. And
no.
How we're able to do all this extra stuff.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have a team that even goes out and does all that. So.
Mm-hmm.
I think we do really well in Kenosha.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Remember, if someone's 90% levy, their 10% is something else. If we didn't have our grants, our percentage would look differently.
Right.
So if we extracted out that 57%, we would just be dealing with our levy and our revenue, then the percents would be much different.
Grants are pretty tough. They're
yes,
a lot of work, and the fact that you have 57% of your budget as grants is amazing.
Right.
That's a lot of hard work that's being done to implement those programs.
Thank you. We have a great team that, through the years, more and more staff have been involved with assisting with writing and being able to take over projects to coordinate them, have oversight, not to mention the development and sustainability. We have several grants that have been renewed. We're on our third, fourth cycle. You'll be hearing about the school nursing contract that's been in existence since the 80s. So, you know, some of these have, and there's a process of a contract renewal and RFP process with the Unified District 2. So they are competitive, whether they're locally competitive, statewide, or federally. So there's multiple levels, and we have all three of those levels. So it's really, it shows the strength and value of our department staff and their experience and professionalism that they've acquired through the years, and they're jewels in public health. And we need to remember that and appreciate them. When other places are looking to move forward, we get phone calls or even a headhunter calling our staff. So our staff are prized statewide, and people look to our staff to kind of pull them to undergird their departments. The young woman, Ashley Palin, who worked under Stacy, is now working as the, almost like a counterpart of Stacy. But before Ashley was interviewed, Stacy was phone called to be pulled to another
county. I'm not going
to another county. But I mean, that's just an example. And now that county has Ashley, who we started very young, right out of, in college still, worked for us for a couple of years. They feel blessed to have her because She went through an accreditation process. She knows how to do public health preparedness. I mean, she came trained to that county. So it really is, it's a testament to the team leadership of our staff, of our management team, and the team leaders, and then the professionalism of everyone that's working underneath, you know, all those areas, because everybody does work to the highest level. Thank you for asking. Long-winded response.
Well, thank you. If anybody has additional questions, feel free to call or email.
Okay, thank you. We can go on to the school nurse program.
Okay, that was very nice to lead into the school nurse program. I'm Bridget Cardinelli, one of the school nurses and the team lead for our team. We have 9 school nurses on our team, and some work part-time, some are full-time. So it averages out to about 1 full-time school nurse to about 3,600 students, and that ranges every year as students graduate or the class size is different. It goes everywhere from 3,500 to 4,200 per full-time school nurse. So we do serve Kenosha Unified School District. We have 35 of their schools. 3 of the schools are comprehensive high schools, and they employ their own high school nurse on staff, so we have the rest. The main objective for our school nurses, as we begin our year, we review the health needs, and that is communicated usually from the parents to the school nurses on their emergency health forms. This year, Kenosha Unified was the first year that they had electronic registration, so you'll see some of the statistics later on that it kind of affects what we know about our students, because if they got through the first part of their registration, they were very happy to complete that, and they stopped. They didn't fill out the health portion of it, so a lot of the students we were missing health information on, so if they were new to the system, new students in the district, we wouldn't know unless they sent in an inhaler and we caught them that way, but the rest of the students that were already established there, we would have had them on file as having a condition, so that was a little bit of a glitch. But that's how we identify the medical health concerns, and based on that, we'll develop care plans last year. And on average, we develop over 1,000 care plans per year for our students, reviewing and revising with the parents, the student, and the physicians, and the staff on how that affects the student throughout their day and affects their learning. So a big part of that emergency health care plan then becomes training and educating the staff regarding what those health concerns are and what they might need to do for their student during the day. And we case manage the students with health concerns, for instance, asthma. If we see that they're using their inhaler more often, there might be a phone call to the parent to encourage them to call the physician and see if there's something different that needs to be done since they're using it every day after gym. Can we move it to before gym? Things like that are being case managed. And then overall, we're also assessing the whole population, not just the individual student. So these statistics are based on last year because we're just finishing up our year and don't have our new data in yet. Over 3,000 students had the 5 most prevalent, and 3,000 probably doesn't mean much, so I apologize, it's not a percentage, but it's actually 19% of our student population has the 5 of the big ones, the asthma, allergies, seizures, cardiac conditions, and diabetes. And another 3% have 96 other conditions.
By allergies, are you meaning the food allergies?
It's food, insect, latex, and other. So like her cold, urticaria, that's in there too. It's any allergy. Mm-hmm. The next objective that we tackle is medications in the schools. We're training and educating staff on giving medication safely. The secretaries in the schools act as the health info person for the students, so they're trained on giving medication safely. They're identifying the student, checking the medication with the information that was filled out by the parent and physician, that they're giving it at the right time, right dose, all the rights are observed. Medications for field trips, including overnight field trips, are also monitored by the school nurses, and they assist in making sure that each teacher knows who's given what, when, where, all that. The number of students that had medication at school last year was over 2,000. And that's for a variety of conditions. So those medications are checked in and make sure that the proper forms are there. Other training for staff, diabetes, which I could probably talk for an hour about what we do for our students with diabetes, but I won't. And then we also have anaphylaxis training them on educating on identifying what anaphylaxis looks like and how to treat it. Epinephrine, we have a new epinephrine device this year, the AviQ that talks to them, so that was a new in-service that we were able to do. Diastat is a rectal medication for seizure activity. We have asthma management, training them to watch and see how the student's taking the inhaler, making sure that they're taking it correctly and getting the adequate dose. We teach the abdominal thrust or Heimlich maneuver to mostly kitchen staff, but they eat in the classroom too. They eat every Friday in the classroom. So teachers are also, we review with them the Heimlich maneuver every year. There's a state-mandated medication administration training through the DPI that all teachers, anybody giving medication in the school is required to review the training and then do hands-on training with all the school nurses. As far as case management, some of the conditions that we assist in case managing are diabetes, seizures, sometimes STDs, dental concerns, the poorly controlled health concerns, pregnancy, communicable disease, and helping them get into their medical homes or navigating that system of getting health insurance and getting them to help take care of the needs of their students. So this kind of reflects what I had said with the information system that we had implemented this year, and that's why you kind of see it trending up as you would maybe expect that asthma isn't going away. But in 2013, we think that dip occurred because they just weren't alerting us. They didn't have a way to communicate with us who has asthma. So it has increased slightly from 1,500 up to almost 1,800 students per year. Diabetes also has been on the rise and this year, and I can't contribute that to the lack of documentation because we know who the kids are with diabetes. They're not marking the card on that. We know who they are. So I don't know if we had a senior class with quite a few students with diabetes that graduated and moved on, but they, you know, we know there's no cure, so they're somewhere, and whether they're moving in and out of the district or what, we're not sure, but it's it had been trending up as well. And this one I wanted to show you with students with food allergies, and this reflects those with food allergies in the first column, and the second one is having the ability to treat those allergies if they do react to anything at school. So at school, we have less than 400 kids with medication on hand, and over 1,000 students with allergies. And what that says is that if they have a reaction, we don't have anything to treat them with, and that might be the parents' decision to not provide the school with Benadryl or an EpiPen.
And these are self-reported?
The allergies, yes, they are self-reported. So we do have some that are dairy allergy, and the kid just doesn't like milk. So once in a while we'll get that, but it's not significant enough to skew the numbers much. Mm-hmm. We also teach family life curriculum, which for Kenosha Unified is called family life curriculum, but it's growth and development, and it's presented to grades 4th through 7th, all boys and girls. In 7th grade, we split them up until 7th grade, we split them up. So in 7th grade, they're all together. But that equals out to about 192 classes a year that we're presenting to the students. Screenings are provided, vision. We do 2nd and 5th graders. Kindergartners are done by Kenosha Unified staff. But we catch them again in 2nd and 5th grade and send out referrals if they don't pass, and it's the chart on the wall that we're screening them with. Hearing screening as needed. Sometimes we'll get a teacher request to screen for a hearing on a particular student, but the Head Start program does receive hearing screening through our nurse. Headlight screening as needed, and dental screenings also. We're applying fluoride varnish in the schools as well, which I have another slide, a little bit more on that. So the dental varnish is done in 13 different schools, and those were selected based on their free and reduced lunch rate. So we took the 13 with the highest rate of free and reduced lunches, and we schedule between 3 to 4 clinics per year. So we're seeing the same students about every couple of months. That also helps us see had they gotten into a dentist between the first time we saw them and the second time we saw them. And our numbers did get better as our clinics went on. For instance, if we had a clinic of 20 kids, we would refer maybe 10 that first clinic, and the next time we saw them, maybe only 8 to 7 of them still needed care, and then by the next one, maybe 2 or 3. So it also takes time to get into the dentist, as we know, but we sent home letters, we make phone calls to the ones that make us say, how are you learning all day long with having to deal with this? So for this year, we did send out referrals for 176 different students. And the 764 is the number of dental varnish applications, so those were multiple, the same student is receiving about three dental varnish applications. We're also on consult for immunizations. The immunizations are monitored by Kenosha Unified staff, but sometimes we're pulled in to look at a record to help them interpret, or if they're having difficulty with the family being compliant with the immunizations, we'll make phone calls to make sure that they understand the laws, know where to go for immunizations. Barriers in school nursing. We have a limited number of hours that we're given to provide to the schools, limited resources, access to care, services. Lack of parent involvement. You know, parents are working, they're an hour away, they're difficult to get a hold of. They might have no contact information at the school, so we can't even call them if we have questions. Children in multiple households, so then we have to, if we're doing education, we have to educate both families that the child is in contact with. Nationally, the recommendation is to have one school nurse for about every 750 regular education students. And currently in the Kenosha Unified School District, we're a little bit off. But we have one full-time school nurse to about 3,600 students. So, but every child deserves a school nurse. And as Cindy had mentioned before, too, we're kind of at the end of our five-year contract with Kenosha Unified, and every 5 years, we renew the contract, and it's up for review right now. So. Thank you. Any questions?
With the school nurse stuff, does it seem to help with community health having an NP in the schools? Does it change anything?
From experience, I have one of my schools that had the NP in the school. For me, it was the difficult part was they still had to have parent involvement as an NP. For me as a school nurse, I can assess the student without the parent there. But for the nurse practitioner, she couldn't see the student unless the parent was there. So that was one of the difficulties having her there. But then if I can assess the student, see that they do need to go to her and try to get a hold of the parent, it's nice to have her right there or have an access to her.
Other questions?
Do you anticipate any challenges with continuing that contract?
There are, it's up for review, so anybody else can bid on it. And it's a competitive world nowadays. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, there probably will be some competition.
Have others competed before? From what sectors?
Well, we've had some health agency or some agencies that have never done this before. We're typically looking for that level of expertise to be able to walk right in. Their protocols, their manuals, are the manuals that we developed. And so we're still using all of our policies and procedures, all the forms that we put together, and the manual includes the state school nurse consultant manual. So, and they've uploaded a lot of our forms and on their electronic system, so they have those available. So it is open to anyone that can come in and perform or oversee the program. Unified in the past had not taken it on because of the cost of a supervisor to oversee. That's would be a requirement, so we have that capability. So we'll see. We usually go when they open up the bids. You have to have the contract in by a certain date and time, and then you can sit while they open up all the bids just to see who the competition is, and then they review everything. So we'll see. But we did have one of our school nurses received a call that just recently, so from someone that I'm sure is planning on submitting a proposal. But as you can see, you know, we have the trained professionals that have been with us for years, yes. And they even come back, which we're grateful for. So we're really glad to have Bridget back. She left, received her national certification in school nursing, and now she's our team leader for the group, so we're just
Yes.
Just a question. On a contract like that, is it unified saying we want a contract with you for 9 nurses, or is it just an amount of money, or what? How does the contract actually get awarded?
It's based on, within the contract, they're stating X number of hours that they'll contract for, and within the contract, we have to put our bid, our hourly rate, listed, and then we have to justify our level of experience and provide references of other contracts that we've performed successfully, which isn't an issue. So they're going to compare the rate, of course, but then they'll also balance of if the another entity could do the job. You know, for us, it's seamless in doing it for several decades.
So is it not really a way of changing it?
No, there isn't actually the number of hours that they've offered is a reduction in this contract. So we now have to doing the same number of schools, and they're adding buildings, but with fewer hours. So the ratio will stay the same or have a wider disparity.
Other questions?
I've got a few updates. As you can see, we have Dr. Maggie Gregner High, her name marker, but I think she has one more step. She has to go through the county board, the full board, for approval. She went through Human Services Committee and was approved, and it's having her name moved to the full board for approval, and then she'll be able to come to the next meeting. And Dr. Regner, she's a vet here in Kenosha County. I don't know if you know her. And good. And so we're excited to have her join. I think she'll bring value to our board. And she's excited about it. It's something I mentioned to her over the years if there was ever an opening, and she expressed a high interest in joining the board. As I mentioned, we have our State 140 review site visit tomorrow. Dr. Foster's joining us for support and provide his experience. And that's another review that we have every 5 years. Stacy had mentioned the telephone survey, which is activated. It'll be done in June and July. There'll be telephone interviews of about 400 residents. Let's see, our environmental section. We have an environmental public health tech position open. And then one of the sanitarians, that came from planning and development, will be retiring this fall. Our laboratory has a successful ASPLAD site visit. We just had some minor things to correct, nothing major, and overall it was a success. Nursing section, we are in the process of hiring a public health nurse. We had lost one of our public health nurses to Abbott, and we're diligently, the interviews are done, and we've offered it to one person, but she turned it down, and we're not quite sure if that's wage or what issue it is. But let's see, our home visiting, Gwen just has been running some numbers for our comprehensive home visiting team, and this is one of our grants that we have. It's the Nurse Family Partnership, and we also provide prenatal care coordination program, but we're at a 97% client retention rate. I think that's a huge percent that our clients are staying in the program. So it really is a tribute to the nurses that they've built a trusting relationship to retain the clients, because it's not easy keeping them for 2.5 years, and we'll be graduating some of the kids will be 2 this fall, so they'll be graduating. But what she's running the numbers is we're meeting a saturation point. And so in order to offer our program to more residents in our community, more pregnant mothers, we're looking to see if we can get some additional dollars so we can hire some more public health nurses to do the home visiting program. Grants, our K-Life collaboration grant, that project was renewed. As I mentioned, the Dismantling Racism Summit, that was well attended, but that grant ends the end of this month. It was only a one-year development grant, and so we do want to implement a project called Courageous Conversations within our community, and we'll need to seek funding in order to move that forward. Sad to say, we did not receive the oral health grant, went elsewhere throughout the state. So we'll continue to seek funds. Otherwise, as you saw, our school nurses are implementing the program regardless within our community. And so that's a plus, a value added to the contract, to the unified contract that we submit. So that's a piece of value added that our nurses are providing that. So it's not a requirement of the program. We see the, you know, the teeth of the kids, that's important, keep them healthy. Our Transform Wisconsin grant, that'll be ending in the fall, and so we're seeking grant dollars. We're hoping, we're planning on submitting a federal RFA for the partnerships to improve community health, and that will replace that Transform Wisconsin grant. That's a threefold grant that deals with tobacco, healthy foods in our community, and exercise, and exercise has been in the schools. Our state asthma control prevention RFA was submitted, and so we should hear in August whether our state partners receive the funding, and then we would be the pilot or the project that would support those dollars. And then in our HUD grant, the NOFA, the federal NOFA, has been released for reapplication. So the staff is diligently working on that contract, or that, excuse me, that proposal. That's it. That's all I have. If there's any questions.
Any other business?
So moved.
Thank you.
Thank you.